Father God, we lift this up to you and thankful, Lord, I know your hand has been in it, Father, from the beginning. I heard the word on this message 2 weeks ago, and Father, you just began putting it together and just piece by piece, giving me the scriptures and things to put it together. And I'm grateful for that. I pray, Lord, the power of it go through me this morning. And Father, that your anointing is there to be able to penetrate hearts and to be able to encourage and strengthen and build up our faith, Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith in you, and the faith and the power of the Holy Spirit, your Spirit that is flowing through us. Father, we praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're talking about taking control of your life. Okay, but it's not about taking control away from God, right? We don't want to take it on ourselves to do things. There's an old saying out there that says, if you're doing it, who's not doing it, right? God's not doing it. Or if you're the one that takes it upon yourself to make things happen, then you're taking that away from God, and we don't want to do that. So it's rather than a message about taking control away from God, it's a message about taking control away from the devil, okay? Taking control away from the enemy, the one that wants to plunder your life and the one that wants to make it miserable, to make it hard, to make it a struggle, to make it chaos, to make it, you know, broken, to make it, you know, whatever. He's the one that wants to do that. So we want to take control back from him and not allow him to do that. My thought is, let's not be pushed around anymore. You know, let's not be bullied by the devil. We don't want him to put us in that little bit of fear. You ever seen bullies? You know, there's a lot of things in schools now and other places and workplaces now. There's workplace bullying. Have you heard of that? I mean, it's all over, and it's the kind of a hot topic, but it's not a new concept. The devil's been bullying people for centuries, thousands of years, kind of putting them in that element of fear, kind of making that little bit of attention, like, oh, you better not, or I will, you know, do these things. And so it's that kind of attention. So rather than allowing ourselves to be bullied by him, I'd say, let's stand up. Let's stand up as men and women of God. Let's stand up as the people that God has called us to be and to live in the righteousness, to live the life that he has called and provided for us to live. Okay, we don't have to live in fear of the devil anymore. Okay, we don't have to live in fear of him. He has been defeated, and you're going to hear that over and over again today, that he is under our feet. He is under our feet. Okay, we don't have to live in fear, and we don't have to live in defeat. We don't have to have those areas that we struggle with that I'm just never going to get over. I'm just never going to succeed in this area. I'm never going to accomplish these things. It's just never going to happen. We don't have to live with that kind of a defeat in our life. Listen to these scriptures. Here's a barrage of them beginning in Exodus 14. It says, the Lord shall fight for you. Deuteronomy 1:30 says, the Lord your God, which goes before you, he shall fight for you. Deuteronomy 3:22, he said, you shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17 says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Again, 2 Chronicles 32:8 says, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the last one, Jeremiah 1:19 says, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Okay, over and over again, and we'll see now in a little bit in New Testament language, Jesus has empowered us for that same kind of victory, that when we have Jesus inside of us, we don't have to live in that fear or that defeated mentality. We don't have to go at life thinking, he's going to prevail, he's going to win, you know, life's going to be hard. We don't have to have that mentality because he is in us and he goes with us everywhere that we go. It's not you going out to battle against the forces of evil. It's the Lord going with you into battle, and you're not going to be defeated because of that. You have him with you. Okay, the book of Acts recounts a time when there was some unbelieving sons of a high priest named Sceva. Okay, we read it on Wednesday night and it reminded me of this passage. But the unbelieving sons of Sceva tried using the name and the authority of Jesus' name to cast a demon out of a man, but they didn't really believe on Jesus. They didn't know Him as their Savior. They had just heard that the name of Jesus had a power to it, and so they were trying to use that. Okay, well, the man in whom they were trying to cast the demon out, the demon actually spoke through that man to them, and then the spirit leaped on them, or the man came on them and tore their clothes and sent them out of the place running away. Well, in Acts 19:15, we can read this little passage. It says, "The evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?' And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." Well, the difference in this scene and what we're going to be talking about today is that when we pray in the name of Jesus, or when we invoke the power of Jesus' name in our prayers, we are using the name of Jesus by faith. He is our Lord. He is the supreme and final authority in our life. And so as we pray in the name of Jesus, "You leave me alone," or "In the name of Jesus, I will win," or "I will prevail." When we do that or say that, we are not praying it as an unbeliever like these sons of Sceva were. Okay, they didn't believe on Jesus. And that's why this spirit was able to come on them and to do them harm in the way that He did. Okay, when we believe on the Lord Jesus, not only as our Savior, but as our Deliverer. Okay, He is our strength. Jesus is our strength. We know that. Who saved yourself? Anybody? Okay, if you're saved today, you know that you didn't. You know that you couldn't do that. And so you admitted, "Jesus Christ is my only Savior. He is my only hope." And so as we've done that, we have called on His name to be our strength, to be our Deliverer. Okay, so Jesus is the power that the devil and his minions have to obey, and Jesus is inside of us. Okay, so you know, a lot of people don't think about this stuff in your life. You know, Jesus, we're going to see repeatedly, Jesus and other disciples would speak to the spiritual realm around them and be able to command a little bit more of what was happening in their life. Now, I'm not talking about, I don't know what the word is, just nutty stuff, you know, where you're just going around speaking to everything and commanding this and commanding that. But you have an authority, and you're going to hear that. You do have an authority as a believer and a child of God that is far above what you probably think of right now. It is stronger, and the ability to tell a situation to change, or to command a spirit to leave you alone, okay? Whatever, addiction, lust, anger, depression, those kind of things are often a spiritual entity behind that, promoting it, speaking into your mind, you know, putting situations into your path to make you continue going down that road. To, you know, if you're just a little bit agitated, boy, next thing, now you got a flat tire, and then the guy cuts you off in traffic once you get your tire fixed, and then the lady at the restaurant cheats you out of your bill, and, you know, it just one thing after another. Well, a lot of that is spiritual, so much more than we give credit. And so when we don't see it as such, we start getting frustrated, we start getting angry, and it starts getting mad, and the next thing you know, we blow up, make it even worse. You know, then it's us engaging and making life worse for ourselves. And so often we can actually speak into the spiritual realm, and we begin to see these things happen and say, "You know what? I bind you in the name of Jesus. Leave me alone." And guess what? They have to leave you alone. You're going to see that as we go through this morning. Like I said, stronger message this morning, but you're going to hear something that I really think is going to help you in your walk with God. 1 John 4 says that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Everybody heard that scripture before? Okay, that's talking about the Lord that is in you. He is a strength that is greater than anything the world has to throw at us, or anything the devil has to throw at us. You know, when Jesus sent His followers out, He sent them out to spread the gospel, to preach the kingdom of God, and to teach others about Him. And they came back amazed at the authority that He had given unto them. They didn't realize what had happened. But when Jesus came on the scene, He was able to authorize those that followed Him with that same kind of authority. Like, Anybody ever watch old westerns? Okay, I'm kind of an old western guy. I like the old John Wayne stuff and the Virginian. You know, it's filmed or supposedly in Wyoming kind of stuff, right over here at Medicine Bow and those kind of things. But when you watch that, and the sheriff, you know, he needs some deputies. He is able to authorize or put a badge on somebody and say, you know, raise your right hand. I swear to uphold the law. Here you go. Here's your badge. Let's go get the bad guys. And so he is able to authorize them and empower them to have the same authority that he has, so to speak. Whether it's a deputy or the sheriff, doesn't matter. If they got a badge on, you have to listen to them, right? Okay, well, Jesus came and was able to authorize you and I to have that same sort of authority. He says, got a badge on you now. You can go, and in my name, you can do some of the same things that I can do. Okay, let's look at this in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. We're going to read this verse twice today, and you'll see why. The 70 returned again with joy. Okay, it's not the original 12. Get that into your head right there. Okay, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils or the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Okay, kind of a different saying that he did. But if you think about the first part of this passage, the demons are subject unto the disciples of Jesus Christ. Okay, to be subject unto somebody literally means to be arranged so as to be under, to be placed underneath, to be designated as inferior, to be designated as in no way superior. Okay, so to be subject, they came back saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. Even the demons are under our feet. Even the demons are beneath us. It's like we have an authority over them. Okay, Jesus' response was to tell them, yeah, I beheld Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. In other words, Satan fell. He lost his authority. He does not have the authority of heaven anymore. He no longer has the backing of the divine throne of God. Okay, when he rebelled, he gave up his authority. He gave up his power and any rule that he may have had over us. The only power that Satan and his demons then have in a believer's life is that which we give to him and we allow him. If that same deputy that I told you about earlier takes his badge off and hands his gun to the bad guy, guess what? He just gave it up, right? And he allowed that bad guy to have rule over him. Okay, so in this case, in our case, when the devil has things, he's going to throw it at us and try to stomp on us and put us down and do all that. And if we allow him to do that, we can do that. We can lay down our weapon of, you know, the Word of God. We can lay down our armor. We can pretend like we don't have that, but we don't have to do that. God has given us an authority and put the demons as subject unto us, where they are underneath our feet. Okay, the devil has convinced many believers that he is stronger than they are in certain areas of their life. Okay, and you might be able to relate to this. That's why they give in to a particular sin in their life. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a, you know, something they've had in their life for a long time. Okay, he convinces them that things like their anger, you know, oh, they just have this anger all the time, and they give in to that spirit of anger and lose their temper, or they yield to lust, or they engage in gossip or whatever, and then they put their head down and they tell themselves, yeah, the devil's just stronger than me in this area. I just can't seem to win in this particular area of my life. The devil's always going to be a little bigger than I am. But that is simply not true. It is not scriptural. It is not Bible-based. It is not the way that it is. You need to ask yourself if Jesus Christ is in you. Okay? And if the answer is yes to that question, then greater is the strength that is in you than the strength of any temptation that could come and the devil could throw at you. Okay, James 4:7 says that you are to submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay, when you resist the devil, he has to flee from you. He has no choice. He is under you. Okay? He's a liar. He's going to try to convince you that he doesn't have to go. He doesn't have to leave you alone. He's going to tell you that he has some right to be there. Okay, you know what? God, you know, may have made you, but he made me too. And I have a right to torment you. I have a right to be in your life because of what you did or because of what you didn't do. Okay, that's his favorite. I have a right to torment you because you didn't read your Bible this morning. I have a right to torment you because you skipped church last week. I have a right to torment you because you made bad mistakes 20 years ago, and I'm going to still use that against you. The devil will torment you and throw things at you and try to say, I have a right to do these things, but that is simply a lie. He is a liar and the father of lies. We don't have to succumb to that doubt and that fear-mongering, if you want to call it that, that he does to us to try to keep us under his rule. Okay, the same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus Christ and that empowered him to live a sinless life and to accomplish the ministry that God had given unto him has been given to us. The Bible calls him the same Spirit. Okay, it's the Holy Spirit. There's only that one main Holy Spirit, right? There's angelic stuff and whatever else, but the Holy Spirit is the same. And that same Holy Spirit that came on Jesus, he said, I now give unto you another, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He shall empower you. And he's going to give us that power that, and when he told the disciples to wait for the power from on high. And that anointing, that power that was coming, he said, is now here, as we know of it from reading the first part of the book of Acts. Now, a lot of Christians are going to shy away from this kind of power and authority. Okay, they're going to stray away from it and you know, don't really want to deal with it because they know that to whom much is given, much is required. Okay, that if you know of these things, now I had a man that, man, when he was discipling me as a young Christian, would tell me this stuff, and I'd go home and chew on my fingernails. You know, I mean, this is pretty strong stuff. And so he would tell me these things, and I'd be like, I don't know. I'm not ready yet. I can't handle that kind of stuff. But the reality is that it's in the same Bible that I have. It's in the same Bible that you have. It's all in there, and it's real stuff. I'll get into that later. But what we have to do is not shy away from it. We have to keep in mind that the ignorance is not going to be a valid excuse when you stand in front of Jesus Christ, your Maker. Okay, when you're standing in front of your Savior and He asks you, didn't you believe my word? And you're going to say, oh yeah, I totally believe your word, man. Our church, we believe it's the infallible word of God. And then He's going to say, oh really? Then why didn't you believe the whole Bible instead of just the parts that you were comfortable with? Okay, why didn't you believe the whole scriptures that I gave unto you as my word? Okay, I recently had a conversation with a gal. She's not from around here, from a different community, but she was trying out different churches and kind of looking for the one that she felt like God wanted her to go to. Okay, and as she did, she talked about different ones. One was what she described to me was a mainline denominational church. Okay, and she had tried it out. She said she felt like it was really biblically sound in their teaching and their doctrine. She said they believed in Jesus as the only way to heaven and that we're saved by grace and that they believed in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I agreed. Absolutely. Those are all biblically based. That's the way a church should be. But what they didn't believe was the things that I'm talking about today, about walking in your kind of authority, the authority that allows you to live in victory, that allows you to live a life that God has called you to. If He has made you righteous and He has empowered you to live that way, then that's the way I want to live. Okay, and so don't just tell me the basics, but give me the meat. Give me the real substance. It'll help me as a victorious Christian to live the way that He wants me to live. Okay, a lot of those beliefs, like I said, are biblically sound, but what they leave out is that the Bible, the parts of the Bible that delegates to us the power to overcome the devil and to live in victory. Okay, many of you have heard over the years, I call it Margie's description of the chocolate cake, but it's a reference that she made years ago about Christian churches being kind of like a perfect cake mix. Okay, that Christianity, the true Christian church, is like a perfect chocolate cake mix. Some churches have added things into that cake mix. Other churches have pulled some of the ingredients out of that cake mix. Some of it, if you add in the wrong ingredients, it makes it kind of nutty. Okay, if you add nuts to it, it can get a little nutty. You can add a few things that maybe distract from the truth of the gospel. But if you pull out certain ingredients, like say the chocolate, now it's no more a chocolate cake anymore. And you can if you put in the wrong ingredients, in my mind, you can ruin a cake. You know, you put in something that doesn't belong in it, you put in tree bark in your chocolate cake mix, it's going to ruin the cake, right? If you take the chocolate out, you defeat the whole purpose. It is no longer a chocolate cake. Okay, and that's what I feel like some of these ministries or churches have done. Certain ones have literally taken out the chocolate, and they're not allowing people to live in the victory that Jesus Christ came to give us. Okay? Amen. Margie's a smart cookie. That's where she gets that. Amen. Amen. Chocolate. Amen. So if you remember your Bible, okay, in the scripture we read a little bit ago, you remember the part where Jesus says, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy." And that is the scriptures and things like that that we don't want to leave out of our cake. We don't want to not have those ingredients in there. I said we'd read this scripture again. Look at Luke 10:17, and we're going to read on a little bit. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And he says to them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you or hurt you." Now, some people say that he was just speaking to the initial 12 disciples. I already showed you in the beginning of this, it says the 70 returned. So it's not definitely not the 12. Okay. They say that we don't have this sort of power and authority today, that we're not expected to walk in this kind of authority over the enemy like Jesus was telling them about. I don't know what the alternative is myself. You know, maybe we should just lie down, let the devil and his demons kind of walk all over us. Maybe we should just accept misery and pain and suffering and chaos and calamity as our norm, and we should just be okay with it. You know, I don't think so. I don't. And I don't think the Bible, I don't think Jesus was telling us that that's the way it's supposed to be. Okay, some people say that the power and the miracles was only for the early church, okay, to help it get established, to help spread the gospel during those first, you know, formative years of the church. Okay, but I really don't think that we're supposed to kick back in today's day and age and watch the people around us go to hell. I don't think we're supposed to, you know, not manifest or allow the power of God to manifest through our life. That manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit through a believer's life was and is one of the most convincing ways to lead somebody to Jesus. It is an undeniable presence and power of God that can't be explained away or reasoned away with the human mind. Many years after that Jesus delegated this authority to his believers, Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, "Be sober and be vigilant," right? "Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." That's just as real today as it was when Peter wrote it. And this was years and years after Jesus had delegated that authority to the initial, those 70 that it talked about earlier. Okay, it sounds to me like a sincere warning to us to be on guard, be ready to fight, be ready to stand up in the power of Jesus. It's not an explanation for why bad things happen, but it's an exhortation to stand up and fight against the schemes and attacks of the enemy. You remember James 4:7 said to resist the devil and he would flee from you. He has to. He has no choice. Okay, so many Christians have taken on the mentality that there are two equal forces out there, that we have good and we have evil, and we have God and we have the devil, and like there's some evil, you know, or equal force trying to come against each other. Okay, they've come to expect sort of a give and a take in life. Like, well, you know, just as much as God is real, so is the devil, so we should just expect to have a few bad things happen in our life as well. But if you recall what the Bible in your hand says, or for some of you that's still home on your nightstand or tucked away in your closet or wherever your Bible is, if you recall what's in there, You're going to remember that from the very beginning of where we see Satan coming onto the scene in the third chapter of the Bible in Genesis. When you see Satan coming onto the scene from that initial encounter, God says that when Jesus comes, or when Jesus came, that the devil would be put under his feet. Okay? Now, I asked you earlier, is Jesus in you? And if you say yes to that, then you're going to get this. This is going to click. If let's look at Genesis 3:15. See, God literally told Satan that because he had messed with his prized creation, okay, you don't mess with God's prized creation. That's, you know, we are his prized creation, mankind, that he was going to be cast down beneath the feet of the Son of Man. And this is what he told him. Genesis 3:14 says, "The Lord God says unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Okay, now this means that he was going to be under the heel of Jesus Christ. Okay, when Jesus Christ is in you, then the devil is under your feet as well. Remember the scripture that we read earlier when the disciples came back and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject or under or inferior to us." Okay? The seed of the woman in this is a direct reference to Jesus Christ. And to bruise his heel means that the seed of the woman will walk on his head. Okay? Will walk on the head of the devil. Okay, Jesus is superior to the devil in every way. He is not equal to him in any way. Okay, now there's references in the Old Testament. Stick with me on this. There's some references in the Old Testament where the devil was allowed to come on God's people. Okay, and to make them miserable. Job is a good example. You guys have heard of Job, right? Okay, the devil literally had a conversation with God and about his righteous servant Job. And he sought permission to attack Job or to bring calamity and disease on him. Okay, well, under the old covenant, before Jesus, the devil had some rights and abilities to be able to harass God's people. Okay, but under the new covenant, he lost that right. Okay, the only ability that he has now to torment and to harass a New Testament Christian is what we give to him through fear and doubt. Okay, we don't have to allow him to have things. You can and should put him under your feet regularly. Okay, to remind him, "I am above you, I am not beneath you. You are under my feet. You are subject unto me." Read the word, read the scripture, quote it. Remind him what Jesus' own word said, that behold, I give you power over the devil. Okay? If you remember that when the devil confronted Jesus, Jesus didn't tell him that, "I'm going to resist against you." He literally just told the devil what to do. "Get behind me. Get out of my way. You're not in authority over me." See, when the devil tried to tempt Jesus into throwing it all away, remember the wilderness, the temptation, he said, "Throw it all away and worship me," you know, and worship, you know, the devil instead of worshiping God. And Jesus just literally said, "Get behind me, Satan." Okay, he had seen Satan fall from his place of authority. And he knew that he didn't have to listen to the devil. He didn't have to put up with that. He didn't have to give in to the devil, and neither do you and I. We don't have to give in to him. If you remember in the New Testament, Satan spoke through Peter at one time. Tried to get him, you know, Peter was speaking, "Lord, you don't need to go to the cross and die. You don't need to do all that." And Jesus rebuked him and rebuked that spirit. And put that spirit in its place. In Matthew 16:23, says he turns and he says to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." See, Jesus didn't tolerate the devil. He didn't allow him to do those kind of things and harass and be around him. Okay, to mess with him. Even when the devil was tempting him, like I said, in the wilderness, Jesus set the example for us by reminding the devil he was not in control, but God is in control. Okay? And God gave that power and authority unto Jesus, who then delegated or passed that authority on to you and I. So we are to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. We can stand up to him, and he has to back down. Now, I mentioned bullying earlier, but if you stand up to a bully and you begin to push and fight back, he will do it with great vengeance when he is in his domain. Okay, if it's a school place, school ground, whatever, that's his domain. He is claiming that. If it's in a workplace, man, that's his domain, and he has claimed that. But get that same bully to come over to my house when I'm having a family reunion and have him try to bully me in that environment. I can stand up to him and say, get out. And guess what? He might bellyache a little bit. He might complain and whine about it a little bit, but he is going to have to go. Why? It's not his house. It's my house. You don't come into my house and start doing that. Well, guess who's in my house? Jesus Christ is in my house. He is in my corner. We have been made the temple of the living God. We have been filled and made the temple of our Savior so that as we walk with Him in our house. You can tell the bully to get out. You can tell him to leave you alone, and he has to obey you. He might whine about it. He might kick and scream, but he has to obey. He can't say, no, this is my house. He can't say that. He has no ground. He has lost that. You can tell him to get out because he has no authority there. It is not his house. It's your domain, and you can remind him of that, and he can't deny that. Okay, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then Jesus Christ is on the throne of your life. Okay, you are the temple of the living God. God says that you are the temple of the same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus. And the devil and his demons have no right to torment you. They have lost that. He fell from heaven. Okay, he fell from that. You can take back control of your life by simply utilizing what Jesus has given you. He has taken the star and pinned it on you. He has said, you are my disciple. And my disciples, that's who he was speaking to when he said, I give you all power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Okay, stand on that. Stand on the word. And when you start seeing things coming, you can stand on it with God as well, saying, God, it's right here. It's in your word. And I'm going to hold you to it just as much as I'm holding the devil to it. God doesn't mind that. He loves to stand on his word because you are putting your faith in him when you stand on his word. To him, that is just exactly what he wants you to do. Amen. Father God, we praise you this morning. We're grateful for your word, Father, for your scriptures. You have shown us over and over again in your word. It is you that fights for us. It is you that takes vengeance on our behalf. It is you that has empowered us and flows through us to put the enemy at bay, to put him in his place that we can walk in victory today. There is no sin, no temptation, no trial, no anything that could come against us that is bigger than you, that is stronger than you. We know that we have you inside of us, and greater are you that is in us than he that is in the world or any temptation. And so, Lord, we're standing on it. We're trusting in you, relying on your word, thanking you for the authority and the power that you've given unto us. Lord, we know that your word says nothing shall by any means harm you, and I can stand on that. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 on the other side, but I will not fall because you are with me. You are fighting with me. You are in my corner. You are in my house. And Father, we're grateful for that. We thank you for empowering us to live in a victory, to live in a way that encourages others to see and to come to you. And Father, I pray and continue to pray that you flow through us onto the people around us to encourage them to be drawn unto Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, you're such a blessing in our life that you have poured unto us this sort of authority and this sort of encouragement, that we can walk in confidence, that we can approach you in confidence, that we can stand with our head held high because we know that you are with us. Father, we're thanking you this morning, rejoicing in all that you've done. Thank you for the beautiful day. Thank you for the joy that you put in our heart. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given to us. Thank you for the victory, Lord. And we praise you. We thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.